Son sein in
Father, we worship and we adore you, Lord. As many as have this hope in them, purify themselves, even as himself is pure, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for putting us in this age, Lord, the age like no other age. The age with the prophets thought they should desire to live in this age, not giving to them, Lord. Unto us, O Lord God, have you given this age to Lord? Lord, we thank you, Father. And thank you for helping us to know the hour and the day of our visitation in the name of the Lord Jesus. So to keep us awakened. Not only to be awakened, but to even continue to give O Lord God, that midnight cry. Behold the bridegroom cometh. Go here to meet him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you again for your wonderfulness to us, Lord. Lord, walking in the spirit day by day, Lord, and listening to what the Lord has to say. So we thank you this morning. I want to read the scripture this morning again, Lord. We trust you with all our heart that you will bless us as always. Blessed be that glorious name, Father. Amen. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. So by God's grace, I want to finish that we began last week. And when there's a great trial and God's people stand at their ground and so forth, God's word will always come. Amen. To encourage them to lead them up. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, we see Elijah. What is he talking about? We see Elijah at the end of the greatest trial of his life. Many, many miracles have been wrought, And at one time, he had to run away towards the last time of his ministry and so on, run away, walk in that wilderness and so on, Oh Lord, say, let me even die now. One prayer that God never answered for Elijah, So he said, I'm not better than my father, And nobody answered the prayer. So, he went to that wilderness and things like that, The earthquake, God wasn't in the earthquake. The wind blew, God wasn't in that, Also, he had a still small voice at the critical part of his life and so on. So great a trial and things like that. He had the voice of the Lord encourage him and so on. And they told him about the translation at that time. Now go and appoint your successor, and ready to go off in translation. So the elect of God, we have been hearing the voice of God in this last day, this trying age. Bible says a time of trial which only a few shall be able to pass through. That is the age we are living in right now. See, as we stand our ground, we are hearing the voice of the Lord, encouraging us. Get ready, amen. I'm even at the door. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so Job himself, and so at the time of his trial, at the end of it, he had the voice of the Lord. Praise God. At the end of the great ordeal, like no man ever was ever tested and so on, I believe Job has nobody to compare with, really, There's no precedent to his trial, as far as we know, And he stood his ground, even though he slayed me. And we trust him. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh my. So he stood his ground and so we see and Mr. Samuel couldn't even leave him alone. We have heard of the patience of Job. We have seen the end of the law. That the Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. Praise the Lord. Encouraging us. No matter what we go through, amen. He is with us there. Praise God. So at the end of his journey in Job 38, that we begin last week, end this morning, 38:1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the one wind and said, he told him a slew of things, but we single out just one thing. What we were talking about these 2 weeks, we are going to end it today by God's grace. That's the second verse. What he said here, can't thou bring forth Lazarus in a season? That's what we were dealing with last week. Instead of that, and we couldn't finish that. I don't want to leave it hanging like that. I want it to be done by God's grace this morning. So we put it into 2 sections this morning. Can't thou bring forth Lazarus? So we now find out that what is God saying here. And we find out that I will give a paraphrase of what we did last week, both to remind us. We did it, and then we could finish it up this morning. So we know that the English revised version read out the word Lazarus as what? And the 12 signs, what it says. And in the margin, read out Lazarus as the 12 signs of the zodiac. that what zodiac today is polluted. They ascribe it to horoscopes and the astrology and things like that. And far be for me. You know, God always has three witnesses, at the matter of two or three witnesses, you know. God has this thing, as well, you know. We know. We are expanding on the thought we had before that the first Bible really is the heavens, you know. And by God's grace, and then we have the written word. There is a prophecy in stone, which we talked about many, many years ago. Three witnesses, the heavens, the stone, and the written word, you know. And all of them, Satan, through humanity, you know, have corrupted them all, isn't it? You know, they corrupt the word of God too. Bible says in it, we are not of them that corrupt the word of God. They corrupt the word of God too. They corrupt, you know, the pyramid and so on, the pyramidology, they corrupted it. So it's also, astronomy is corrupted too, anyway. So anyway, so thus we see that in this scripture, did not mention that the signs of the zodiac, with the direct implication that only God can bring them forth in their season. At the 12th time in the year, God bring them forth. Every month, He bring them forth. That, you know, only God can do it. Job couldn't do it. Nobody can do it. And God only can do it. And things like that, you know. So, and we know that the truth of this is this. Astrology did not invent or originate the zodiac. I want to say that again. Astrology did not invent or originate the zodiac. Actually, if you think, when I go to Enoch this morning, it is even said that Enoch was one of the architects of the zodiac, actually. I'm ahead of myself right now. Anyway, so God Himself, maybe by hand of, like, you know, by hand of a prophet and so on, originates the zodiac, I don't know that, you know. So, not astrology. And we told in Psalm 136, we are told that, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. In that verse 5, we know the Lord made the heavens and so on, that, you know. In Psalm 147, I don't have it here, and so on, that, you know. The Bible says, He called all the stars by their name. He knows their name, and He called them by their name. So, as we said, what astrology has done is to corrupt all the things that God has done in the heavens. You know why they call those heavens? As I've been discussing, they are talking about this constellation, talking about the salvation of man that God has wrought for man. So, I mean, what you are saying is this: wasn't there the plan of salvation in place before there was a written record, before man knew how to write and read? Wasn't there the plan of salvation? How did Seth know about the plan of salvation? How would they know? You know, when there was no written record, anything like that, you know? So Satan knew that those things are in the heaven. That's why, to block the coming generation from knowing those things before written record, He brought the first astrology, you know. That's why He did that, astrology, you know. Anyway, so, but we know, and of course, we always condemn astrology in the strongest terms, you know. How many people today are looking and getting their life by a horoscope? How many of them, all over the world, you know, you can't even count them, you know. That is work of Satan. Direct them away from the purpose of God, you know, from, you know, why He put the heavens there. And I always, at 47, to really discourage, I mean, to encourage Christians, to help people who are caught in this false religion called astrology. And that is, and I say that also, astrology originated from Babylon, actually, you know. So, and that's why the Lord rebuked Babylon when they oppressed the Asian people, the Hebrews, you know. Here's what the Lord said to the Babylonians in Isaiah 47. Begin to mock them. I'm going to punish you, Babylon, and things like that, you know. And come and see if your astrology can deliver you. So, 47 of Isaiah, verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldean. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. I read that verse 1 to show you that he's talking to Babylon here. In verse 13, so I'm going, where the Lord begins to condemn astrology and whatever it stands for, you know, because they come from Babylon, they originate from Babylon, so, and they have polluted the world with it. Now, watch what I say. Thou art weary in the multitude of thy counsel. Let now the astrologers, you see that, the stargazers, the monthly prognosis, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Astrology can't guide you to anywhere. They guide you to satanic trap. They mislead you into the things of the devil and so on. So those who do it and so on, So that's what the Lord is saying, yeah. So again, we come to the word zodiac came from the word zodiacos from Greek. We said that means a circle, right? Can you get pass this one around again this morning? For those who don't have it or don't have it, yeah, I'm going to share this one this morning again, you know, as we finish up this morning. So the word zodiac comes from the Greek word zodiacus, meaning a circle, which has its primitive root in the word zoad, denoting it means a way or a path. You know, that's what it means, you know. So in this connection, it is used in the way along which the sun appears to move through the stars in the course of 12 months. Bible calls it, Matalos. Where woman calls it Zodiac, you know. But I will just turn with, can you interchange English? We know what we are saying, right? Not astrology, and so we can call it Zodiac or Matalos. Whatever it is, and so that, you know. Just go on about it. We know what you are talking about here. So, you know? So anyway. So, and this way of zodiac is a bet, like you have in your hand right now, it's a bet. What you have in your hand, you see a picture, you see the sun in the center, you see the earth going around it, that picture in your hand, right? So, and sometimes you can, people relate it to the way, the apparent movement of the sun among the stars. Sometimes you can think as the earth moves around the sun too. You know, it's passing through this constellation too, and something like that, you know. That way you look at it and so on, you know. Anyway, so this way, or zodiac is a belt-like area, like you see in your hand, around the middle of the starry panorama. In the zodiac, there were 12 constellations. You can see them in your hand right there, you know, of stars. A constellation is nothing but a group. That's what it means, group of stars. You can see them right in your hand right there, you know, and of stars, known as the signs of the zodiac. And to each of these basic signs belong three other constellations for each of those groups you see in your hand. There are three associated ones which we don't show in the diagram there. So altogether there are 48 constellations like that. Some of these other ones are not in that bed. They are either up or down. But these are the 12 basic ones that you have in your hand right there. That's what we are talking about these 2 weeks. Today's the last day, things like that, you know. So anyway, so we are saying that all these things, they are in Genesis chapter 1:14, Bible says about the sun, the star, let them be for time, and some of that, you know. So we see that they are also prophesying too, you know. So they are bearing witness. Our theme is this. Our subject matter is this. Mother Lord gives witness to Christ. So they are stellar prophets. They are celestial prophets. And God put them there to denote the salvation of man. And remember in Acts chapter 10 verse 43, just the way the Bible prophets gave witness of Christ. So God set up the celestial, signs in the heavens, and they all, each of them, they were giving witness to Christ. In Acts 10:43, it says, to him, meaning Christ, give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission all things. So in the same manner, these constellations are all about Jesus Christ, the Lord, you know. So the scripture says that the starry heaven not only contain revelation from God, but that they constantly are telling their message to man. Like before there was any written record at all. Today they still say the same message, you know. When you look at Ora in the heaven, and you see this thing, Leo in the heaven, they still say the same thing. What has happened is that when the Lord allowed the written word to be, the writing, now the use of the heavens for the word of God kind of part behind the scene, but they're still there, really, you know, so that nobody, the written word now takes precedence, if you will, you know. So anyway, now Psalm 19 says, it's all. The heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19:1. Just lay a foundation before we go into this constellation. No, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth in and the world. The Bible says, the next one, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. Show me any place in the earth where you don't see the heavens. I don't even know anywhere they see the heavens, right? God knows what he's doing. That's why he put the constellations in there, actually. So all the world can see the work of salvation that the Lord will wrought in the push up of his people before there was any written record. So there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set the tabernacle for the, you know, for the sun and things like that, you know. And we know this in the book of Romans, even to the Hebrew, to the ancient people of God, the Hebrews, and to all people of the world, that the gospel is first preached in the heavens, like we are dealing with. That's why in Romans 10:17, which I read last week, shows us that the gospel was first preached in the heavens. Romans 10:17, brought forth by the Holy Ghost, asking the Hebrews, preach to them the gospel. So then faith cometh by hearing, in verse 17 of Romans 10. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now verse 18 says, but I say, have they not heard? You know, yes, verily. You know, just to Psalm 19, that same scripture in Romans, just to Psalm 19, verse 4 that I just read to you right now. Verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. That's Psalm 19:40, Psalm 19:40. He quoted it. Meaning that the first Bible was actually the heaven. The gospel was preached in the heavens. But have they not heard? So we saw that. In other words, the earliest prophecies of the gospel were visually presented by associating them with this constellation. So we established all those things, right? Now let me now jump to the constellation themselves and so on, that, you know. So there are 12 of them, basic ones, right? We covered the first 6 last week and we couldn't finish it. So today I'm going to jump. I want to summarize the first 6 again to us this morning to remind us, but not in detail like last week, right? Then we speak in detail for the last 6, where astrology took Aries to be the first one in the series, but they are wrong because it's false, right? It's a Confucianist, right? So we know Virgo is the very first one, and the Leo is the last one. How do we know? They match the Bible. Because Virgo is what? The Greek for Virgo right now. Virgo means what? The seed of the woman. So the prophetic revelation in the heavens begins with the constellation of Virgo. The pictorial representation of this constellation is that of a woman with an ear of wheat in her left hand and a branch in her right hand. That's what looks like in the heavens right there. Don't worry about your picture in your hand, not look like that, but what we are looking for is just the sign and the meaning of the names of the stars in this constellation that will read the Bible to us. The truth presented in the constellation Virgo is that the virgin was to have a son, meaning as if, who will be called the branch of Jehovah. Last week we talked a lot about that, and that meaning that God will appear in human form, the Lord Jesus Christ, the born of a virgin, the incarnation. And also, that what Virgo is all about. God put it right there in the heavens to show us that, you know, Virgo the woman. Last week we went by the Latin name, what it means. That's what it means right there. Second one was Libra, and it means the required price paid. That's the Libra. Number 2, the required price paid. Following this, following Virgo was Libra, right, in the zodiac. And Libra is always pictured, like I said last week, as a pair of old-fashioned balances or scales with a horizontal beam supported with a pivot in the middle of it and 2 pounds of equal weight at the end thereof. While constellation Virgo showed the coming of the Savior to be the seed of the woman, Libra reveals the price which the Savior will pay in order to redeem man. Libra declares man's depravity and God's ability to redeem. It points to the place of redemption at Calvary, where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet. Above all, it points to the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, whose blood was shed in payment for man's redemption. Just to Scorpio. Just summary this morning of these 4 6, right? We take each of them last week at length. Now the one is Scorpio. It means the mortal conflict. So the third constellation in the zodiac is Scorpio. It presents the great conflict of the ages, in which the mighty Savior triumphs over the old serpent, the devil. The climax was at the cross, where the evil one struck the seed of the woman with all his venomous might. The death of Christ proved to be the defeat of the evil one and the triumph of the crucified as he rose from the dead the third day. The succeeding constellations in the sign of Scorpio speak clearly of the Messiah's victory. That's how we say about Scorpio. Next one, Sagittarius, means the final triumph. Pictorially, Sagittarius appears in the form of a centaur, coming in confidence and strength, with his great bow drawn to the full. The arrow, ready to fly, is aimed in the heaven at the heart of the constellation Scorpio, the enemy. Even it's between in heaven like that, you know. So the constellation reminds us that the conquering Sagittarius goes on in its battle to the complete overthrow and the final perdition of the enemy. It depicts him who, having spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumph over them in it, as we are told in Colossians 2:15. Why won't Satan pervert these things and make apology out of it? This thing that God put in there to reveal the salvation to man, how will not pervert it, you know? Now, Capricorn is the next one. It means life out of death. The pictorial representation of the Capricorn constellation is a goat with the tail of a fish. Not only just an ugly goat, the prophetic truth signified by this constellation is right in the heart of the gospel message itself. The goat in this sign is even a dying goat, according to what it says, with head bowed and a folded leg, while the fish tail is living and very vigorous. That's why it's a centaur, right? You know. So anyway, the goat was a sacrificial animal. As far as we know, the sin offering, we are told in Leviticus 10:16-17, which I don't want to read here. So, and it was a type of Christ, as you can see right there. The living fish from the dying goat of the constellation speaks of the multitudes of the redeemed who have been given eternal life as a result of the sacrifice of Christ. We went to many scriptures last week to show how Christians and believers are type as fishes, right? You know, you do not got catch men, you catch, I will catch fish anymore, but men. I make you fishers of men. So we see that there. So the Capricorn is showing us that right there. So now, Aquarius, meaning the blessing out of victory. The name Aquarius comes from the Latin word. It means the water pourer. That's what it means. Aquarius means the water pourer, which is exactly what the constellation depicts in the heaven. Aquarius presents the Lord Jesus Christ to us as the giver of the living water to his redeemed people. Christ, the great Aquarius, is the one who bestows on his people the water of life and the blessings of salvation. The living water flows out as a result of his atonement. That's what we went at length. How, going to the book of John, the river, and so on, I know, living water, and so on, you know. So that's what that constellation stands for. Next one is the Pisces, meaning deliverance out of bondage. Constellation Pisces is the seventh. Now we are done with the first two that we have last week, right? Now we are in the seventh one, right? So which is now Pisces. And then we'll go to the 12th right there. Pisces, meaning deliverance from out of bondage. Constellation Pisces is the seventh in the zodiac, pictorially depicted by two fishes. You know, you might look at that in your hand, but that's what, you know. Another constellation called the band, between the two fishes, another constellation called the band. It's a string of stars. So when you say constellation, we're talking about grouping of stars, right? So this is a grouping of stars. You know, maybe it may look like fish in the heaven, but they are all stars, right? Grouping of stars, right? Between the two fishes, Another constellation called band, you know, like a string of stars. Join these two fishes together and some of that, you know. So, and it's like the fishes are now tied together. And that string of that string that tied them together, that constellation, is now tied to another constellation in the heaven. They call the sea monster. Monster. All these things. They call it a sea monster. That's what it looks like in India, you know. So, thus tied, the fish are not free. You see? So, you got two fishes in their constellation. In between them, there's a string of star called a band. And that string of star called a band is then pointing and tied to another group of stars called the sea monster. So, you have two fishes tied together, if you want to, like a cord. And they call this tied to what they call the sea monster. They all speak a volume. Let's talk about each of them. Now, the sea description. So, sea monster, right? The sea description means what? It represents peoples, tribes, nations, and it's explained in Revelation 17, verse 15. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the world sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. God's ancient people, Israel, are often seen as fish in the sea of nations, taken away from the land of promise and blessing, and scattered among the nations without national identity themselves. Amos prophesied, according to this one, he says in Amos 4:2, there are many of them like that. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks. See? You see those fishes in the heaven with hooks? And your posterity with fish hooks. See? Now, many other Old Testament prophecies spoke about the dispersion of Israel. So this constellation is talking about the dispersion of Israel, really, you know, and their gathering. Following the dispersion of Israel, so they will come under evil. Babylonian captivity, they were punished when they are in India, you know, and things like that, you know. So anyway, this was depicted in the constellation pieces where the fish were bound to the evil monster of the sea, right there in the heavens. Even the fashion of Israel was showing in the heavens right there, like this constellation and things like that, you know. So anyway, all you see, the Lord foretold the last dispersion of the Jews, right? In AD 30, we all know this by now, in Luke 21:24, and the Lord said to them, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So the dispersion took place 40 years later, we all know that by now, in AD 70, right? Tatus, the general, the Roman general, and so on, and the not until 1948 did Israel regain our nationhood again. This is all we know. All of us know this by now. And not until 1967 did Jerusalem get back under the Italy control. There are also the 10 so-called lost tribe of Israel that went into Assyrian captivity and have not even returned. Many Old Testament prophecies foretold of their return. Notably, the following one that is relevant to our discussion this morning, in the book of Jeremiah 16:15 and 16 says, but the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I have that I gave unto their fathers. Chapter 16. Behold, I will send for many fishers, said the Lord. And they shall fish them, see? Fish for them. And after all, I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rock. So long before the Hebrew prophets, now I show you what has happened. This thing, constellation is showing the dispersion of Israel and their gathering. Long before the prophet, the Hebrew prophet wrote, the scattering of the God's people was foretold in the heavens, I'm showing you right now, by the sign of pieces. That's what I'm showing you right now, you know. The constellation of pieces is also connected with the coming of the Messiah and the regathering together of Israel. The name of pieces. I always talk about the Dendera temple in Egypt. It's a temple in Egypt, an ancient temple in Egypt. See, this zodiac, the thing has your heart. There are many drawings of it all over the world. The most ancient one was in the temple called Dendera in Egypt. They had a drawing of the zodiac there in the ceiling of that temple, you know. So when you hear Dendera, don't be, I mean, you know it by now, so, you know. So anyway, so the name of Pisces in the zodiac, in the Dendera, means the fishes of him who comes. Here are the different names in the ancient times in this constellation, showing you they have flawed their meaning now. I mean, their names now, but we still get some of them. Now, meaning that through the fish, though that the fish are bound, right? Though they are bound, they are looking towards, you know, for the Messiah to come and deliver them. That was his Messiah, you know. The name of Pisces in Hebrew means the fishes. That's what it means in Hebrew, you know. That constellation in the heaven. In Hebrew, it means fishes. The name of one of the stars in one of the fish of that constellation means the uphead. Uphead, you know, they were tied together, right? Another constellation, right? Two fishes tied together, another constellation. That's called another constellation called the monster of the sea, right? You know, so anyway, the name of one star in one of the fish or the constellation is called the uphead. The name of another star in the other fish or the constellation means the united. Talking about the gathering, the scattering, and the gathering of Israel, depicted in the heaven before there was any writing, you know. So let's keep on going on that. And associated this meaning with the two fish connected by a cord or a band, we can see the two divisions of Israel, which were separately taken to captivity. There are two of them, right? You have the two southern kingdoms, right? The ten northern kingdoms. The ten northern kingdoms actually went into captivity into Assyria long before the two southern Judah went to captivity in Babylon. And those things have never returned, really, you know. And this has shown in the heaven, the two divisions of the house of Israel, right here, you know, in the pieces, you know. Bible says that one day God will bring those things back to, you know. That's why Ezekiel 37:32 says this, you know, it says, I will make them one nation in the land of all the mountains of Israel. And the king, you know, and one king shall be king to them all. And there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. So we see right there in the heavens, God showed there the two divisions of the house of Israel and so on, the two fishes and so on, representing God's people, Christian people, the two divisions of Israel in bondage, and so on. God will bring them back again. Now, I'm going to leave that one alone and go to Aries. Aries means the glory out of humiliation. This constellation is the eighth one in the zodiac. And it is the last of the second group of three quartets. Last week, I told you that the 12 are grouped into three quartets, right? So anyway, so we said that last week, right? So anyway, so this second quartet consists of Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, and Aries. Capricorn, like I said before, signifies the blessings of life from death. Aquarius pictures the blessing of salvation's fullness. Pisces signifies the delay of the promised blessing. Now we are in the Aries. We see the blessings fully realized. Now, in the heavens, Aries is marked by a small group of three stars, each of the Pleiades, you know. It usually carries the symbol of the ram. But many of the older zodiac, meaning drawing that you have in your hand, portray a lamb with no arms. And in some ancient zodiac, the lamb has a circular crown on his head. Now, the Hebrew name for Aries means lamb. See? Why the Arabic name means sheep, or gentle, or merciful. The name of the brightest star in Aries constellation in the Syriac language means the lamb, again. The same word that in Syria, some some gospel thing, I mean some New Testament were written in Syriac, right? So India, that same word they use for the Aries, meaning the lamb, is used in the New Testament in that language too.
Is it lamb
or lamb? Lamb.
Lamb.
Lamb, yes. Like it's like a lamb.
Okay, lamb.
Yes. L-A-M-B.
No.
L-A-M-B.
Okay,
yeah.
Lamb.
Yeah, yes, that's right. No, it is like actually, a lamb, yeah. So, and then of course, John the Baptist, you know, cried in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." So, Aries presents to us Christ as the Lamb of God. Now, the next truth portrayed in that Aries constellation is that the Lamb is also a sacrifice, as the name of some of his stars bear witness. The stars in this constellation, they bear witness that is the Lamb of sacrifice. Let's see some of them. The name of the brightest star in Aries means the wounded or the slain. This I'm talking from what the ancients call them, as you know. So it means the wounded or slain. The name of the, you know, and so on. Another star in Aries has a name that means bruised. And a name of the other notable star means band. So these three names now, wounded, bruised, band, they witness the fact that the lamb is also the sacrifice, the lamb that was slain. Yet another star from the Aries means the sacrifice of righteousness. Now, one more thing about this constellation. The third idea conveys that the name of the stars in Aries is that of a kingship. The name Aries itself means chief or head. In the Dendera zodiac, its name means the reign of Ammon. Putting all these names together, you know, Aries presents us a lamb sacrificed, but reigning as king. So in this we see the Lamb of God, who by sacrifice of himself takes away the sin, but now reigns as King of Kings.
Sorry,
yes, go ahead.
This the Aries and the this copy? Yeah, the copy that has the dead group. You know?
Okay, so don't forget that each of them, they just represent an aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay,
so they overlap in their meaning.
Okay.
They are all depicting the same Savior, right? The same team.
Yeah, okay.
Just like we say, all the prophets give witness of Christ.
Okay.
So that's the way you look at it. So if you see something that looks similar, that's right, you know?
Okay.
Because they are all mentioning the same team. Either Christ or in Christ dealing with the devil and so on, that, you know? So one of those things.
They call these fishes different names. Mm-hmm.
But it turns out those names mean the same thing.
Yeah.
What the Arabic call them may be different,
mm-hmm.
but the meaning of that thing in Arabic, we're looking at the meaning, really, not the meaning, the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
The meaning coincided across the culture. That is the wonder of wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Which means the ancient, because I thought you know in the ancients, you know, people like this, all they know about the salvation is between or in the heavens, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is the meaning we are looking at. It's the same across the cultures and nations of the world. Those who have not perverted the whole thing, really, you know. So all this just showing that this are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see. Now more about Aries. There is more about this, but then I now how about the exodus of God of the Jews out of Israel? About the time of the exodus of Israel from Egypt, talking about Aries too. About the time of the exodus of the Jews from Egypt, God established the month of their departure as the first month of the Hebrew calendar. God said the month you are leaving Egypt, that will be the first month of your own year in your calendar. You can see that in So, and in Exodus 12, I believe it is the Exodus 12. So, they were ordered to slay the Passover lamb on the 14th day of that month. Eat it, roast it, and depart Egypt. That is in Exodus 12, 2. This month, the Bible says, shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Then verse 6 says this, and ye shall keep it up. Or that means the lamb, we're talking about the lamb, right? The Passover lamb as well. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now, in that particular verse, the Bible does not tell us the name of the month, right? We were never told in Deuteronomy when Moses will finish his testimony. Moses will now tell us what the month was in Deuteronomy chapter 16. And I want to read that one quickly. Pertaining to this lamb, the Aries and things like that, you know, verse 1 of Deuteronomy 16. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. So it was the month of Abib that they left Egypt and all that, you know. So that is in the Hebrew calendar. In today's calendar, today that is the Hebrew calendar. So it's called Abib. Now, it is called in Jewish calendar of today, it's called the month of Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. So in the original Hebrew calendar, it's called Abib, you know. But today, what the Jews use, what they call the Jewish calendar, is called it's called Nisan. In our own Gregorian calendar, it's month of March or April. That way, you have the Passover, right? So now, here I'm going this. It is said, I can't qualify this. It is said that, here's where I'm going right now. It is said that the sun entered Aries on the 14th day of Abib, the same day Israel slayed the Passover lamb, roasted it, and departed Egypt. That same night. Now, I told you before, this zodiac, you can see it as the apparent movement of the sun among the stars, right? Now it is now said that that same night, that day, the 14th day of Abib, when they killed the first Passover in Egypt, the sun was in the constellation Aries that night, you know? That
so night. They break in the night,
where they killed the goat in the evening, right? Whatever the lamb in the evening, right? But the significance is this, talking about either the lamb, right? So that same night when they killed the first Passover lamb, the sun was in the constellation Aries in the heavens on that 14th day of Abib, you know. That's what they are saying here, you know. Isn't that significant and so on, you know? So not even only that. Now, on the 14th day of Nisan, in AD 30, that 14th day of Nisan, like I told you before, AD 30, is what people think the day of the crucifixion, right? You know what happened that day, according to some reports? The sun was said to have stood in the head of the constellation Aries on the day of the crucifixion. That's what he said. That's what happened when they killed the Passover lamb the first time in Egypt. The sun was in Aries that night. I'm telling you that, you know. The day of the crucifixion, I can't confound it. The day of the crucifixion, I think they say it's on the 14th day of Abib, of Nisan now, they call it, I'm telling you that, you know. The sun was in Aries, you know, that night, I'm telling you that, you know. We are told that that day, right? From 6 p.m. From noon to 3 p.m. right, there was darkness all over the land, right? That is in Matthew 27, verse 7. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour of the crucifixion. So therefore they said that, you know, the sun was in the first constellation, you know. Aries at that exactly where it was the day they left Egypt, they killed the first Passover. I cannot confirm all of this to the extent. So in the supernatural darkness of Calvary on that day of crucifixion, people who look in the sun at the sun will see instead these two stars which have witnessed that very hour for what happened back in the land of Egypt and so on. The people don't know the importance of this thing that night, but it happened. So they say. So we leave it here. So Aries typifies again the Lamb of God, you know, to slay, to take away the sins of the world. God didn't just put them there like a cluster for nothing. They are preaching the gospel in their own way. before there was the introduction of the written word. Go to the one. Taurus is the next one now. I'm going to move fast. Taurus means it's glorious coming. It's glorious coming. Constellation Taurus is pictorially depicted as an enormous rushing bull, like a cow, right? You know, with a long, sharp horns pointing forward and upward. Taurus has many features of astronomical importance, including the popular and the beautiful Pleiades. You know, it's in that constellation Taurus. Pleiades in the constellation Taurus. You know, and Taurus is a sign of a coming judge and of a coming judgment. It is the day of a vengeance of our God. You can see Isaiah 61:2. When the Lord went to that temple and opened that the first time he went to preach in Luke chapter 4, we'll give to him the book of Isaiah, find the place where it was written, right? Then towards the end, Isaiah 61:2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. So this constellation is the king's judgment too, you know, at the coming of the Lord. It is the day of wrath from which the Lord's people in this age shall be delivered, for they are not to be appointed unto wrath. That is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we explained that scripture before. Yeah, none of God's children as Christians will go through the wrath of God, but many will go through the great tribulation. There are two different things, right? Anyway, so we see that one. But the people of God, the Jews, will pass through this one, and the nations, you know, will pass through that one. Now, the bright red star in the bull's eye in the heavens has the name meaning the governor or the captain or the leader. The Pleiades means congregation of the judge. The name of the star in the middle of the Pleiades has the meaning of the center. Now, the name of the bright star at the tip of the left horn means the wounded. This reminds us that the coming judge is the one who was wounded for our transgression. It was said that there was a widespread idea among early nations connecting the constellation Taurus even with the flood, you know, in Noah's day. So they said, you know, so it has to do with judgment, right? And the Pleiades with the Ark of Noah, they connect the constellation Taurus with the flood judgment, and the Pleiades, which is in Taurus, with the Ark of Noah and the souls that were saved in it. We cannot confirm all these things, but so they say, as you know. Now, talking about judgment, the Epistle of Jude refers the prophecies of Enoch along this line of the judgment and so on. In Jude, verse 14, we are told, and Enoch also, the servant from Adam, prophesied of this thing, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. We are doing it because we are saying that it's connected with the coming of the Lord, connected with judgment, right? To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So, now, Orion is in the is the fourth of the decans or constellations in Taurus. I told you that each of these 12 you see, they have three associated ones, right? So Orion is one of the decans, you know, one of the decans of Taurus. So, we don't have time to talk about Orion tonight, but in the future, not even next week, I don't know when. It's so fascinating. You can see how Orion depicts Christ in so many ways, you know. What are we going to do in the future if the Lord leads that way? That we will get the most important of this decan from each of the constellations instead of just having them. So the that are named in the Bible, especially like Orion and all of it, we get them together and talk about them, you know, in the future as the Lord will lead. I'm sorry. Pleiades is also in the constellation too, in the Taurus too, in Taurus. Well, there are many things that people say is connected to revivals.
Okay.
And so many things about these things and so on, you know. So again, when we get into those other ones, we talk about all these things, they are full meaning. We talk about Pleiades in full, you know. They call it the seven sisters, you know. So I will tell you about all those things later, you know, no, but not now. Just talking about in the future, if you don't read that direction and so on, you know. So if Pleiades becomes that are mentioned in the Bible, and then we talk about them, you know, they are baptized. So anyway, so we will talk to this thing later. Now we move to Gemini at the same time. Now Gemini, it means its rule on the earth, the rules of Christ on the earth. The constellation Gemini is often pictured as two twins. Like the other constellations, the meaning of the names of the stars in Gemini is what is most important to us, really, you know. The meaning of the name of Gemini in Coptic and in Hebrew means united. Coptic is an ancient Egyptian language, you know. So that name Gemini, you know, what it means in ancient Egyptian language and in Hebrew is united. One of the names of the stars means ruler or judge. Can you see how even these names and many, you know, across the different constellations really mean the same thing, pointing to the same Lord Jesus, right? And you know, so one of the names of the stars means ruler or judge. Another star's name means who comes to labor or suffer. These meanings indicate that the ruling judge and who comes to labor or suffer are united into one. This reveals the twofold presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw in other constellations, you know. What Gemini portrays, in summary, is the coming of the Lord Jesus in his dual capacity as both ruling prince and savior who suffered. And so that's what it means in summary, you know. Now, next one. Cancer. The possessions held secure. Some show that Cancer as a craft, whatever, you know, but Cancer is the 11th of the 12 constellations in the zodiac. In Greek and Latin, the name means to hold or encircle. The Egyptian name in the zodiac of the Dera means cattle fold. The Arab and the Syriac names mean who holds or binds. When you talk about binding, name by it, you know, in the Hebrew, it means to bind in Hebrew, or harness, or to hold or keep. That is what is used in connection with Judah in Genesis 14:10, you know, that we skip that one right now. So anyway, the name of the brightest star in Cancer means holding, you know. Another of the star's name in Hebrew means sheltering or holding place. The combined witness of this meaning of this name seems to be that of a sheltering place where people and flocks are safely held, you know. What does it mean to us? It means Cancer constellation depicts the final rest and homecoming of the redeemed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is wonderful and all these things. Now I'm going to go to the next one to save time. Leo. I'm going to finish right there. That's the last one, right? Leo is enemies destroyed. Of all the constellation of the zodiac, the constellation Leo comes the nearest to looking like what it represents. Look at your hand. Looks like a lion almost. It's the only one that looks like what it represents, right?
Yeah.
So if you look at it. So and the front part of the lion is commonly known as the sickle. Can you see it as a sickle? And it's shaped like one too, you know. The star on the bottom of the handle is the brightest star in Leo, and it's called Regulus, or sometimes in Latin called Leonis, meaning the heart of the lion. See that star, the tail of it, called Regulus, the brightest star in Leo. The great drama of the heavens started with Sign Virgo, and in Leo It ends in Leo, we reach the last scene of the act. We have come a full circle now in the zodiac. For the tail of the lion, you won't see it there, touches the head of Virgo in the heavens. That tail of the lion, it touches the head of the constellation Virgo in the heavens, telling us the correct place to start and end the interpretation of the 12 signs, you know. So the fact is believed, the fact is believed to be the chief purpose of the great Sphinx. You have all heard about Sphinx, right? Sphinx is a limestone structure in Egypt that had the head of a woman and the body and tail of a lion. And people were wondering before, that thing you're having in a circle, where is the beginning of Mazaros? Where does it begin? Astrology is the fourth science. They took Aries to be the beginning. That's wrong. That doesn't even match the Bible, right? So, now, in the zodiac drawing, in the temple of Dendera in Egypt, and ancient zodiac, and so on, they put Sphinx between Leo and the Virgo. The one in your hand, they put the Sphinx there, you know, that picture of the woman, you know, with a woman head and somebody put in there. The ancients knew that this thing began in Virgo. That's why they did that in that zodiac in ancient Egyptian temple and so on, before they lost the meaning of it. So we see that one. So the beginning point of prophecy in the Bible concerns the woman and her seed, right, which is Virgo, which will destroy the seed of the serpent. The sign of Virgo clearly depicts this in the heavens. The ending point in biblical prophecy is the last, in the last book of the Bible, book of Revelation, is the lion of the tribe of Judah who has prevailed. Revelation 5:5, right? So, does the start and finish of the zodiac coincide with the biblical revelation, Genesis and Revelation, the seed of the woman, lion of the tribe of Judah? So the heavens matches correctly and so on. So we see this now. The oldest pictures of the zodiac depicted Leo not only as a lion, but a magnificent lion, killing and tearing his prey. In the picture, again back to the Dendera zodiac and so on, Leo is seen tearing down at the great serpent called Hydra with his powerful claws, having wounded the head of the serpent. See? Also in this picture of the zodiac of Dendera, appearing in hieroglyphics, he wrote in hieroglyphics, you know, that is the first rite in Egypt, right? Under this sign in their temple, under this sign, they wrote this one in the Greek. It means the word, which means conquest, you know, under the lion, this lion sign in the Hebrew. The Hebrew word for Leo is Arieh, Arieh, which is the same word. They have about six words that means that in Hebrew, but this one it means lion. You know, no strange about that, right? So the meaning of the names of individual stars in this constellation are very, very instructive too. You know, each constellation in Leo, they mean something. Let me see some of them here. Regulus, for example, I told you before, means treading underfoot, and following are the meanings of the names of some other stars in that constellation. Some of them mean the judge who comes. One of them means exhortation. One means the shining force. One means the tearing of the lion. Another one means enemy put down. So all these names consistently bear witness of him who is the lion of the tribe of Judah, who is now exalted and will soon rise for judgment. It is in this light that the lion of the tribe of Judah is seen in the last book of Scripture. The lion has always been the symbol of the tribe of Judah. Anyway, when Jacob, the patriarch, was dying, he pronounced his blessing on Judah with these words. Genesis 49, verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Even Balaam prophesied of the same thing, Judah, in Numbers 24, verse 8, taken of Israel. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones, and pierce them through with with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesses thee, and cursed is he that curses thee. Even Isaiah spoke of the Lord himself in this manner. Isaiah 42, verse 13, as I close here. 32, 14 of Isaiah. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. So, and of course, the Apostle John, and last scripture here, was comforted. The seventh book, Revelation chapter 5, no man on earth was worthy, or even in heaven, to open that book, or to look at the seal thereof at all. Can't break the seal, no man. He said, I wept much. And here is how I conclude the message this morning, Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loot the seven seals thereof. So we see that agreement between the stellar revelation of salvation in the heaven and that which is the written book, the written word, you know. So all this we have said, because we spent 3 weeks about going to every prophet in the Bible and show how they pointed to Christ, right? So we have spent 2 weeks going to the 12 constellations of the zodiac and see how each of them also bear witness of Christ. You know, so what this thing is just so fascinating, and as we wait for the coming of the Lord, we get occupied with everything the Bible has said. Praise the Lord, praise in the name of the Lord. And so, and also, when we go to, you're going to help in the future. People who are deceived by astrology, you know, we can straighten them out at the weekend, you never know, you know. So, all this kind of thing. So, Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful thing, Lord, to just sit down. I read the Bible and study as I've given to your servant the prophet in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we worship and we adore you, Lord. Unto us is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To others is given to them in parables. So we thank you for accounting us toward the Lord. Blessed be that glorious name. Having spent this time reading the scripture this morning, Lord, you see, I've never said to my house, to my people, to seek me in vain. So therefore now we thank you for all the victory wrought in the past week, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as our sisters have testified. Now, Lord, we commit all that pertaineth unto us into your hand, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, go down before us as you have said, Lord, say I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Let us never forget, let us never be afraid. God has not given us a spirit of bondage to fear again, for the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. We go here this morning as more than conquerors again, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, like David of old, O Lord. Having been behind the desert, Lord, you are showing great deliverances. When the bear came, when the lion came, toyed with his hand. When the bear came, did the same thing. When he made that circumcised Philistine, he could say, my God, could deliver the bear, deliver me out of the hand, poor the lion and the bear. Who are you, this uncircumcised Philistine? If there be any of his enemies come our way, we will bring them down in the name of Jesus. Father, we worship and adore you. No matter how it comes, I give unto you power Luke 10:19 over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in us than that is in the world. Ye have overcome them, little children. The Bible tells us we are overcomers in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, in the mighty name of Jesus. We are going to sit with you on the throne. We believe with all our heart. He that overcometh shall sit with me in the throne, even as I also overcame and sat with my Father in his throne. Lord, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. Glory be to your name, Father. Meet every need, Lord, because it is promised. We just claim the promise in the name of the Lord Jesus. No matter what this world turns to be, Lord, our economy, our need, you know, materially and so on, you know, we are promised, Lord, oh God. The word tells us that, Lord, you know, that the heart is the Lord and the fullness thereof. We are told that, Lord, oh God, you will supply all our need according to your riches in glory by our Lord Jesus Christ. So that we, in everything, you will help us to have all sufficiency in the name of the Lord Jesus. No, in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord of God, we be a blessing unto all that are around us. In the name of Jesus, you will preserve our goodness and our comings. You will preserve us from all evil. You promise to bless the work of our hand. You will cause us to always be like trees planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth our fruit in our seasons. And our leaf will not wither. When the dark comes, we shall not know it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, because the rivers of living water out of our bellies is springing up unto everlasting life. Lord, we thank you and we worship you. There shall no plague come at our dwelling. In the name of Jesus, 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand. It shall not come nigh unto us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, because we serve the Lord, even from the Old Testament, the Lord says, you continue to bless our water and our bread. You take away all sickness, ALF, from the midst of us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. For you are the Lord that healeth us. Send his word and heal them. Father, we worship and we adore you, Lord. Matthew 8:17 says that himself took our infirmities. He did it already. And bear our sicknesses. By his stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, you know, that himself, you know, bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. Are we being dead to sins? Our life unto righteousness, by which we were healed. So we thank you for all these blessings. Lord, above all these things, Lord, since the age you are looking, you know, leaving us, Lord God, we never forget your instruction. Account us toward to escape all these things that surely come to pass. They are already coming to pass, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we claim the promise that you are the one who is able to present unto yourself blameless and without any blemish. In the name of the Lord, and it shall be done. Lord, help us, Lord God, and also we are, you know, help us to keep the word of your patience. It is mentioned in so many places in the Bible, in the book of James. You say to wait. You know, the Bible says, you know, it says the husband man himself waited patiently for the precious fruit of the earth until he received the early and the later rain. Be ye also therefore patient, for the coming of the Lord dread nigh. Lord, even says, in our patience, help us to protect our soul in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we thank you, Father. Lord, so therefore, Lord, I count us worthy to be of them. Of whom it is said, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation. So I come to try all that dwell upon the face of the earth. Faithful are thou who hast promised, Lord, who also will do it. Father, we worship and we adore you. So as we meet again, Lord, Father God, we know, God, you are going to watch over us, Lord. Thank you for giving your angel charge over us. One just deliver our sister from that authority and so that, you know, they are always there. And Lord, whatever prayer we have prayed, let us just rest in the Lord. Whether we have seen manifestation doesn't make a difference, God will bring it to pass. He stored them in the golden vials. They will come to pass in the appointed hour. I will not come early or late, said the Lord. I'm the Almighty God, I'll be right on time. I will make all things beautiful in their time, said the Lord, according to my word. Rest thou in the Lord. Fret not thyself, said the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Father, we worship and we adore you. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God. Praise God.
Well,
yes.
I just want to thank the Lord for this morning.
Amen.
Because, you know, several times when I try to study this,